Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Scripture says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let's listen in as Pastor Joel breaks down the reality of this scripture in today's message entitled, Feeding on the Faithfulness of God.
The word the Lord has given me is called feeding on faithfulness.
Feeding on faithfulness.
And I know we as Christ followers, we understand the importance of enjoying a good meal. Probably more than most people out there, am I right? Yeah, I believe that's true. I mean, let's face it, we as saints, we enjoy breaking bread. We enjoy baking bread. We just enjoy bread, okay? Especially when it comes to buffets and food, amen? And I don't want anybody to be dashing out of that house. Stay focused and don't go anywhere. I don't want you all to break any social distancing rules and because you ran out and found a drive-thru and tried to get a buffet meal. Just hold on for a minute and hear the word. I'm just mentioning this for a reason, because we like to enjoy a good meal, but we don't want to turn anything allow the devil to use anything for evil. We don't want to turn buffet into a B word or food into a bad word. It's all good.
Amen.
It's all good. It's good. But what I'm talking about in particular is not filling up on food so much physically as we are talking about filling up on the word spiritually. That's what we're talking about feeding on today. Filling up on God's word. Because the word of God is what? Food for our souls.
Amen.
It really is food for our souls. We need it. And when we learn how to eat properly, we get the nourishment we need spiritually as well as physically. Amen?
Amen.
So God gives us spiritual food. Not only does it help us in our walks with Christ, it helps us in our physical deportment as well. It replenishes us in many, many ways. And then, we can start with what Jesus says in John 6:35. In John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life, right? He who comes to me shall never hunger, right? He who believes in me shall never thirst. So that gives us the first idea of how we should be clinging toward Jesus for spiritual nourishment. That ought to clue us in on what the Holy Spirit is going to have for us in our sermon message. Also in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him.
Amen.
Again, we're talking about in order to be properly nourished, then, we need the Word. We need the Word who is Jesus, and we need the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So just as we do when we take our vitamins, or when you get your morning meal, or when you get your, whatever it is that fuels you for the rest of the day, that's how we need to be in this Word of God. So let's go again to the Word of God. Let's see what else Jesus says about being fed. And I'm going to ask the birthday girl, pastor, sister friend, Annalisa Jones, sometimes mother, today she's the birthday girl, take us to the book of Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to ask her to read verses 1 to 4 for us in Matthew, please.
Pass. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Then when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Mm-hmm. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. All right, saints, right there we're told that Jesus was being what? He was being tempted. He was being tempted by who? The devil, right? Satan, whoever you want to call him. But what we also must understand is that Jesus was in the flesh of man, was he not? We know that Jesus was God, but he was fully God and fully man. So at this point, he stepped into the flesh of man and he was tempted. He was tempted by the devil. But who was he tested by?
The Lord.
By God himself, right? So Jesus came. Now listen, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit is who? Whom are we talking about when we say Spirit? We're talking about the Holy Spirit, right? None other than the Holy Spirit of God. So he led Jesus into the wilderness for the purpose of being tempted by the devil. Now, if Jesus is going to be in, if Jesus is allowed to go into the wilderness to be tempted, what's going to happen with you and me? Hmm. You know what it says in James 1, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 tells us what? To count it all joy when you what? Fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect weight, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Jesus went into the wilderness. That's a note right there. If Jesus was tested, you better believe you're going to be tested. Jesus was tested getting ready to go into his ministry, his assigned ministry. But he had to be tested, okay? And Jesus had already fasted 40 nights and 40 days. So he was hungry, all right? He was hungry. The Bible says he was hungry. And what does the devil immediately ask Jesus to do? Command that these stones be turned into bread. In other words, the devil tried to hit Jesus where he felt Jesus was hurting most. Do you see that? He tried to hit Jesus where it would hurt him most. He tried to hit him in the stomach, in the gut, okay? Because he knew at that point that that's where Jesus should have been weakest. And that should serve as a reminder for all of us, okay? Each and every one of us. The devil wants to attack you at your weakest point. Mm-hmm. Not where you're strong. Mm-mm. Where you're weak. If you're a woman who's always looking for a man, look for the devil to come through that thing. Huh? Mm-hmm. If you're a man always looking for a certain woman, he's going to throw that certain type at you. You're not going to have to look for them. They're going to come to you, okay? Because he wants you to falter. So he's going to attack you in your weakest area at your most vulnerable point. Amen. Because he knows he's likely to be successful if you're weak and hurting, if you're hungry for that thing. All right? And that's what he tried to do with Jesus. He attacks you where you're hurting the most. But Jesus wasn't hurting like that, was he? Mm-hmm. No. He was hungry, yes. But not hurting, not to the point where the devil could use him. You see, at that point, he probably could have been hurting more. He should have been hurting more, but he wasn't. And the reason Jesus wasn't hurting in his stomach was because he was filled up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Does that make sense? He was filled with the Word of God, all right? He was filled up with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was in him. Praise God. And that's what I meant when I opened up this message and said what I said about enjoying a good meal, not so much a physical meal. Okay. I like to think that the more we're filled with the Word, the more you can resist the absurd. Does that make
sense?
The more you fill up with the Word, the more you can resist the absurd, because the absurd is going to come at you. People are going to come at you. Situations are going to come at you. And after you do that thing that comes at you, you're going to feel real bad about it. You're going to feel taken in. You're going to feel like you were duped and you said, how did that happen? Because we weren't filled to the gill with the Word. And that's why it's so important. You see, Jesus told the devil, it is written. It is written. It is written. Jesus went to the Word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's telling us something right there. That's telling us that we ought to feed on the Word.
Amen.
We ought to feed on the Word of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because here's the point, friends. Here's the point. Jesus could resist the temptations of the flesh because he was full of the Spirit. You see? He was full of the Word of God. And when you're full to the gill, there's not much room for anything else. As much as you like, what do people like?
Let's banana say. Banana pudding.
I heard people talking about, okay, the pastor said banana pudding. As much as you like banana pudding, you can only eat so much of it. And after you fill up off of it, do you still have room for anything else? No, because you're filled. And we need to fill up off the Word of God. Because if we fill up off God's Word, we don't have much time for anything else. We don't have the appetite, amen? Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to get at. Jesus could resist the temptations of the flesh because he was full of the Spirit of God. Now watch this. We as human beings, we're at various levels of our own wilderness call. Did you know that? We don't like to think we're in the wilderness, but we have not arrived yet. Paul said, I'm pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus in Philippians 3:12. He doesn't say he's there yet. He says, not that I've apprehended. Huh? That's what we mean. We're not where we need to be yet. We have the Spirit and the righteousness of Christ living in us. That's for sure. But we're still going to be faced with obstacles. So you could say that we're still on a wilderness journey. Okay, so we've been led into all kinds of diverse places in the wilderness. Some are being tested as we speak. Some might be tuning in on these broadcasts on one of these social media sites. I don't know. But somebody's going through something somewhere, some situation. Each of us are going through. Some are in the wilderness with drug dependency or alcohol abuse. Some are in that wilderness area. Some are laden down with sexual sins, okay? Some have a problem with promiscuity. Some are held captive by profanity. Can't help but curse. Every time you see them, they're cursing. They're all on social media cursing like they're angry at the world. These are called wilderness calls, all right? And the only way to overcome that, these levels of being out in the wilderness, is if we fill up on this word.
Amen.
We've got to fill up on the Word of God. So how we come out of our wilderness calls then depend on how much spiritual nourishment we get. We've got to get the physical, the spiritual nourishment just as one would physical nourishment. Okay? Just like in the case of Jesus. How much of that word do we have in us? How much do you have in you? We need the Word of God. That's exactly why we've got to learn how to eat right. Mm-hmm. We got to learn how to chow down on the Word of God. Hmm. Like we used to say in the military. It's time for chow. We meet up at the chow hall. And you had 5 to 15 minutes to chow down. I know that my brother-in-law Dennis was in the military and he knows about that. I'm sure that even people who don't know the Word of God or never heard the Word of God have heard that old saying that says, you are what you eat. We've heard of that, right?
I have heard that.
You don't have to read the Bible to know about that. You are what you eat, okay? So if you eat Twinkies, so say for instance, you eat Twinkies all day long, you're just a Twinkie-eating soul. Or you eat Hostess Ho-Hos. You're a Hostess Ho-Ho-eating man. Or a Hostess Ho-Ho-eating woman all day. And you just eat those types of things. Don't be surprised if you find yourself looking like a big old bag of snacks. Right? Because you are what you eat. It's very simple, okay? If you've been eating snacks, you'll be shuffling around like Mr. Snuffleupagus. You remember him? On Sesame Street? You'll be looking like a Muppet. Now, I love the Muppets, but you don't want to be looking like a Muppet, right? So the point is, you are what you eat. All I'm trying to say is that that's the same way it works spiritually. We need to be filled up off the Word. Jesus was led into the wilderness in order to prepare for his assignment. He had a very special assignment, an assigned ministry, which would make possible the salvation of all mankind. So Jesus had to hold fast to his confession, hold fast his convictions, amen? And that's the concept of food being the key. And from a couple of different standpoints, but each has its own importance or value. Now, I believe we all understand the example of the word which Jesus is using right here in Matthew 4:4. But now let's look at another text of scripture where Jesus relays to us that that is found in the book of John. I'm going to ask Pastor to take us to the book of John chapter 6 and read for us, please, verses 50 to 58. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 50 to 58.
Matthew 6, verses 50 to 58 tells us, mm-hmm. This is the bread which comes down from heaven.
This is Jesus talking now.
That one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Mm-hmm. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor. I like the way she reads that.
Amen.
With conviction.
Amen.
Start talking about bread. She's going to be convicted one way or the other.
Jesus, the bread. Amen.
Praise God.
Get excited about that.
Well, Jesus explains the difference between physical food, right, and the food which is of the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. Most important in this passage is the fact that Jesus explains that he is the bread from heaven. Jesus is the bread from heaven. And he says that whomever eats of it will live forever. All right. This is consistent with what he says in John 11:25. If you remember that scripture where he says that I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, shall live. Okay. This is consistent with what he's saying here. This is further confirmation of the importance of being in the Word and feeding off the Word of God. All right. Mm-hmm. Just as in John 6:50, where Jesus mentions manna from heaven. He explained that our forefathers, the old patriarchs, the old Israelites, and the fathers from old, they were complaining about manna from heaven. And he explained that they ate of that bread and they were sustained by it, but only for a time. Am I right? They were only sustained for a time, okay? Yeah, it sustained them, but they died. They still died, right? Physical death. But Jesus informs us that what he's talking about is that he is the living bread. The bread that is so excellent that through it we overcome natural death.
Amen.
That's what we need to understand. You see, Jesus is supernatural.
Supernatural.
Not just natural. That's what we have to understand. We go through the process, but we go through it to everlasting life. And that's the important thing we need to understand.
Thank
I hope you understand
Lord.
That. That manna back in the day sustained the people of Israel for a day or so, for a time, for a few days. But it could not prevent them from dying a natural death and living their lives that way. But Jesus is the bread.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what we need to understand. He is the bread which not only is able to save us now, but fills us up, saturates us, and remains in us and carries us through this natural or temporal life into a life eternal with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big. That's a big thing, okay? So what we need to understand is that everything we need in order to be sustained throughout our lifetime is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the important thing. There are some people who are going through some things. Some people on this line who are sick and have conquered all kinds of sicknesses, like my sister-in-law, my sister Mary, who's a wonderful woman of God. And the Bible tells us that the spirit of a man sustains him in sickness.
Yes.
Okay? So we're talking about there's a level that we jump to. We don't stay in the natural. We jump to Jesus Christ. It's like a generator. When the power goes out, you put that thing on and you jump into it and let Jesus empower you. And yes, that's the power that we're talking about in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's the power to overcome. And that's why he says, I'm the bread from heaven.
Yes.
And it remains in us. Jesus remains in us. So what we need to understand is that everything we need in this life, everything we need in our lifetime to sustain us comes through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And why? Because he's our everything. He really is our everything. Now, watch this. Pastor, take us for proof to John 14:6. Now, don't believe me. I'll tell you like the Lord told me when he came to us. He said, don't believe me. He said, but watch and see if everything I tell you doesn't come true. And I had to watch and see. I tried to put God in a corner. I'm telling you, I tried to put him in a corner. I tried to catch God in a lie. I didn't know any better. I said, if this is God speaking to me, I'll know it. I said, I tried to get him to go against the word of God. I tried to find something that didn't make sense.
Yes.
I preached the word of God back to the Lord. And the Lord told me, well, listen to our boy Joel. He's telling us the word of God as if it was amusing. And I could not find an answer. I could not find a reason not to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you, let's go to John 14:6 and see what Jesus says about it.
John 14:6. This is Jesus. And he came to us saying this, and he'll come to you saying, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
All right.
Thank you, Pastor. Jesus.
That's another question I asked him. You know my family. Those of you on this at Spirit of Truth, and my relatives who are watching this, you know I was born and raised in Islam. You know my parents were black Muslims. You know I didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't believe in Jesus from birth to 49 years old. And why is it that when he came to me in the spirit, before I had read a Bible, I asked him, well, if you're God, then why is it that my parents were telling me about Allah and they were telling me to follow Islam? If you're God, and I don't think I waited for an answer. I said, and I know they were good people. As if I was going to say, so don't tell me they weren't good. I said, I know they were good people. My father never drank. He never did this. He never did that. My mother, this is what I was thinking in my mind. I said, so if you're God, then why did my parents, who are good people, raise 13 children, then why did they follow you? If you're God, who is this other God? Who is this Allah? You know what he said? He didn't quote John 14:6 to me, but he did in a way. Because what he said was, son, he said, man makes his own religion. And they follow different religions. He said, but God's will is that every man come through his son, Jesus Christ. And I am Christ.
Amen. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We appreciate your partnership and financial support. All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow him. Thank you for choosing to fellowship with us today. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Listen, while you're there, connect with us. Like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. In need of prayer or encouragement? We're here for you. Call 707-759-5244. Join us for our weekly Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. Walk with us through the Bible Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks again for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the conclusion of Feeding on the Faithfulness of God with Pastor Joel. Until next time. God is here.